Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Cam Finley. Cam's the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Labor, and joining us in our conversation is Fred Fagerson. Well, Cam, could you tell us more about the mission of the Secretary's 21st Century Workforce Initiative?
Yes, one of President Bush and Secretary Chao's biggest initiatives since we arrived at the Department of Labor is to focus all of our efforts on the workforce of today rather than the workforce of the past. I mentioned earlier that our department is almost 100 years old, and many of the statutes that we administer are decades old. And many of the things we do have not fully taken account of the way the workplace has changed in recent decades. The workplace is much more diverse than it used to be. We have a different work day, a much more 24/7 orientation. As I mentioned before, many employers have stepped up to the plate already and have begun to protect their workers on their own. As I mentioned, we wanted to take a look at everything we do and see whether it's relevant to the 21st century. So President Bush's executive order set up in our department an Office of the 21st Century Workforce to focus a spotlight on these kinds of trends. And it has done a great job in highlighting some of the trends out there. I mentioned before that there's diversity in the workforce. Another thing is that there's a skills gap out there. There are a lot of people out of work still, but there are a lot of jobs that are being advertised in the paper every day that there aren't enough good people to apply for. So we want to close that skill gap. And so this 21st Century Office has held a number of events, such as a 21st Century Summit that the president and Alan Greenspan and a number of labor leaders came to address. It sponsored the SAVOR Summit, which was intended to focus on the need for all employees to begin thinking about their retirement. And it held a Women Entrepreneurship Conference last year at which the president spoke that was intended to focus on the issues that face women small business owners, which are an increasing segment of the economy. More recently, the office, in conjunction with the American Enterprise Institute, held a conference on productivity and how we can increase productivity. This is in line with that final strategic goal that I mentioned, a competitive workforce, because ultimately the way we increase our incomes and we increase jobs is to make workers more productive. So this 21st century office has really been there to act as a catalyst for us to all examine our premises as to whether we're doing our job in a way that's relevant to today's workers.
Would you reflect on the recent rescue of the 9 miners and any lessons learned from that?
Well, that was probably the most emotionally satisfying thing that's happened since I came to the Department of Labor. I got a call from the head of the Mine Safety and Health Administration late one night and was told that 9 miners were trapped underground. And while he was optimistic, as one should always be, he made clear that this was a very difficult situation. And then we got about 50 people from the Mine Safety and Health Administration out there to Pennsylvania very quickly. They were able to move very unique equipment out there very quickly. And but even with all that effort, I think there was always some doubt that we would get those people out alive. And when I woke up that weekend morning and saw the pictures of the miners being hauled out of their mine in that yellow capsule, I was as happy as I can remember being since my marriage or the birth of my children. It was very exciting. We've had the miners and their families to our department. We brought the yellow capsule that you saw on TV in for the event, and it was very, very special. And I think what it does show is that the sort of partnerships that MSHA was able to form with the states can be very effective. MSHA provides grants to states for training, and then it has this operational role of rescuing miners. And our people really came through, and we were as proud of them as we could possibly be.
When you look out to the future, what are the next challenges on the horizon for the department?
I think our biggest legislative challenge is to obtain reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Act. This is the law that authorizes all of our training programs, and it expires this year. So we've got to reauthorize it. The president has just put forward his proposal, which would eliminate some of the silos in the programs, change the governance structure that has prevented money from getting to people that need it, and try to increase the role of employers in the workforce investment system. We think that latter point's very important. Employers are the people that provide jobs. And that's a tautology, but we have to always remember that, because if employers are not part of the system, then we're not necessarily training people for the right things. We're not aware of what jobs are out there, and we're not making the connection between employers and dislocated workers. Regulatorily, we have a very full regulatory agenda. We are updating the white-collar exemption rules under the Fair Labor Standards Act. These are the rules that determine whether you're a blue-collar worker that gets paid overtime or a white-collar worker that doesn't. These regs were last significantly changed in the 40s and early 50s, and so they're badly in need of change. They still provide detailed guidance on jobs like linotype operators, straw bosses, gang leaders, and leg men. I don't know what any of those things are, but we don't need rules that apply to them anymore. And then we have several other regulations. We have proposed to update the forms that unions use to file their financial statements with us. We have put out a rule that would enhance the integrity of the unemployment insurance system by withdrawing permission that was given out a few years ago that states could use money from their unemployment insurance trust funds to pay maternity leave. And we've got a couple other major rules out as well. And then I think more broadly, we want to continue the management reforms we've been pursuing at the Department of Labor. We have a lot of work to do in the financial management area, a lot of work to do in competitive sourcing, and still a lot of work to do in human resources. So we'll be pursuing those things.
You talked about a number of things and challenges for the next few years. Have a vision for the agency over the longer term, the 5 years and 10-year horizon.
I hope that we will be very bold in terms of thinking about how our agency relates to the 21st century workforce. I know I've said it a couple times, but this is a very old agency. It's unlike most of the other domestic agencies. We are not a great society agency. We're not even a New Deal agency. We're really a turn of the century agency. And many of our laws, the Fair Labor Standards Act was passed in 1938. Even recent laws like the Occupational Safety and Health Act are a generation old now. And I hope we will be bold in terms of looking to see if there are any changes that need to be made to those laws, to the regulations under the laws, to opinion letters and things like that, so that we can really make our department relevant. I've often remarked that the Department of Labor seal reflects the anachronism of some of our programs and policies. It shows as the symbols of our workforce an anvil, a plow, a mill wheel, and a steamship. And those are really 19th century symbols. They're not 21st century symbols. And we've got to make sure that our department is more up to date than its seal is.
I'd be curious, as you think about your career, what advice would you give to a person interested in a career in public service?
I think the main advice I'd give people is that it's important to be nimble and flexible, and that it's impossible to plan your career in a linear way. I think my career offers a good example of that, in that I started out of law school as a law clerk, and it's a sort of job where you typically would go be an appellate lawyer someplace, and found myself with a great opportunity to work for a cabinet department that I didn't know much about. And I went there, and then through pure chance found myself at the White House. I couldn't have planned that progression, but I just did things that were interesting to me, and somehow things have worked out reasonably well. And I guess I would just say to people, don't try to look 25 years ahead and plan everything out. Be flexible, because in today's economy, people don't stay in jobs for their lifetimes anymore.
Well, Cam, I'm afraid we're out of time. Fred and I want to thank you for being with us. Throughout the conversation, you mentioned a couple websites. Did you want to remind the audience?
Yes, let me first give the Department of Labor's website, which is www.dol.gov. That would be a good place to learn more about our department. But I also mentioned the govbenefits.gov website. It's just as it sounds. It's www.govbenefits.gov.
Great, thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Cam Finley, the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Labor. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.